Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all the wonderful things He's doing. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Mightily moving. He always takes advantage of time. And He works through people who are faith. The Word of God teaches that the just shall live by his faith. It also teaches that it's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. And that's what he said. It is saith the Lord. And all that we do is an operation guided by the Holy Spirit. Before God made man, there was a fight that started. A rebellion started. And there was an angel, you know, the story, called Lucifer. And he had a high calling of God. And there are many myths about him that people believe that he was the highest ranking angel. That's not really true. But people teach that. I've seen the best of people teach that. But that's how they took it. Remember, he made five statements that he was going to conquer and become like God. So in order to do that, that's five societies he had to conquer. He was going to ascend above the stars, above the clouds. And, you know, always ascending until he was like God in the eyes of everybody. And he got in pride. And he got in pride over how beautiful he was and how wise that he was. The world system is comprised of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is the opposite of life. The life of God is opposite to the ways of the world system. And there were many angels that followed Lucifer. And many fell because of him. And the fight existed before God made Adam. And God made Adam. See, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. So the earth had been flooded before the flood of Noah. See, there was two floods recorded in the Word of God. The flood of Lucifer, which left the earth in desolation. If you study chapter 3 of 2 Peter, it said that the earth was standing in and out of water. But in the flood of Noah, the whole earth was covered with water. In the flood of Lucifer, it was void and desolate. There was nothing alive here. In the flood of Noah, of Noah's day, eight people survived, and two of all the unclean animals and seven of all the clean animals survived it. So eight souls survived it plus the animals. Again, it was two unclean animals, two by two, and seven clean animals. Now, both floods was because of rebellion. Sin will come to a head. It will come to an end. Just like a tare comes to a head, and you know it's a tare because the fruit of the head of a tare is black. And the fruit of the head of wheat is a white color. Both plants look identical till they bear fruit. Everything that tries to operate according to the world system will ultimately fail. A marriage that's based on the world system will fail. Friendships that's based on the world system will fail. A society that uses and trusts the world system will fail 100% of the time. even this great country we love so much, America, if you lose the values of God, it will fail too. You can't have a kingdom, a sustaining kingdom, with the principles of the world system. It's not going to work. The Lord told me many times in 1992 that the world system won't work. And it don't. And it can't. That's why the Lord destroyed those kingdoms. And he found one man that would trust him, he and his family, and save them. So what we must do is consider the principles of God. They are true. They are honest. They are of good report. They work. The word of God works. But the kingdom of God, it runs, well, I put it this way. The world system is directly opposite to the kingdom of God. And now we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So Jesus saves us. We come to the Lord where we are, as we are. And a healing process begins in us, and we grow from glory to glory. And to help us out, when we believed on him, he gave us a brand new heart. And he had to do that because our old heart was motivated by the world. We have a new spirit. We have the same knowledge that we had from our old spirit. But we have a new spirit. We've been made alive because we believed on Jesus Christ. And we can conquer death, hell, and the grave. We can overcome it. We can see it for what it is. We can depart from it. We have power over sin. And a friend of mine told me some things, some foundational truths when I first got saved. And I remember I got saved at a grocery store. Not in church, in a grocery store. And one of my friends, Chris Lucas, he was an Italian Catholic, and he went to the Church of the Nazarene, and he had some great foundational truths that kept me safe. He said, he explained that now that you're saved, a Christian don't have to sin. He was taught right, and they don't. He said if a Christian sinned, it's because that's what they wanted to do. But they don't have to. They're not driven by sin. Because God gave us power over it. He said, you also have power and authority over Satan. If you tell him to stop, he's got to stop. He explained it was good information. He said, now that you're saved, Satan's going to want you back. He's going to try to get you back on his side and reject God. He said, and he explained the things that would go wrong. He said, people are going to do things that aggravate you. You won't be treated fairly. Women will flirt. He just gave a list of things, and it all happened. And some things happened before then, but it was more intense afterwards. Now, having a heads up of what to expect, because I thought everything was just going to be great from this point on, because now God is in charge of my life. Well, actually, God made me in charge of my life, just like he makes you in charge of your own life. If we have a problem, we have to pray. If Satan bothers us, we have to take authority, because the grace of God is sufficient for us to use the authority of God and stop the works of Satan. We covered that in other broadcasts. Also, it's our responsibility not to let evil things happen to us. We have to say something. We have to do something. We have to speak the word of God in faith, always in faith. And we have to take God at his word. It's our responsibility. Don't expect much out of God if you won't take authority in your situations. If you won't operate according to if you don't operate according to biblical principles, you're not going to have the result of biblical principles operating in your life. And the Lord's not going to make everything go right because he loves you. it's going to go right because you put a demand on the promises that he's already given you because he loves you so much. You always have to believe God and take him at his word. Easy. But sometimes people don't learn properly and they teach it otherwise. You know, in the religious world, everything's up to God. And whatever happens to you, that's God's will. That's crazy. Because Satan is out there tempting people, and he's a problem. And we're not supposed to allow him to harass our lives. But our God is good. God is good to us, and his wisdom will last against all forms of time. In every way, no matter how you add it up, those who take God at his word end up better off. The Lord can guide us. If you listen to these broadcasts many times, those who have, they know that I value the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because he can show us what's around the corner, what's in the future, the choices people will make, and whether you trust him or not, you're going to find out it was true. If you live long enough, you'll be able to see what he said to be true and real. Even if you don't trust him. Because there were times that I didn't trust God. I didn't follow through with what he said do. And I found what he said in the first place to be the case. And I knew that he told me the truth, and all that. If I would have agreed with him, if I had believed him and acted on it, I would have been in a different situation. Many times it wasn't such a hit because of what it was, but some things were greater than others. But in all cases, God loves us. And he values us. He values our life, our time, our efforts. When we pay tithes and offerings, that's a representation of our life. We had to spend our life to earn money to pay tithes and offerings. And when we give something to God, we're using our time, our abilities, our efforts to be a blessing to him. And he appreciates it. And he blesses us back. You can't outgive God. You know, when you help people that can't help themselves, and you're a blessing to people in his name, it's valuable to God. When you take him at his word, that's valuable to God too. At that point, he can help us. When we find his word true, when we listen to him and hear him out, that's what we're going to find out, that he was that everything he said was right on point. It's detectable. It's a blessing. And he values our company. Whenever I was in his presence, I felt like he wanted me there. I felt very welcome. It was endearing. God loves us just like we love our own children. And he cares about us. And it made me want to serve him more. When I do his will, when I operate according to his wisdom, I want to serve him more. And I would feel bad when I did something, if I said something I shouldn't have or did something I shouldn't have or wasn't faithful in my actions or doubted something God said, I would feel terrible. I didn't want to do that. And I pray and repent and ask him to forgive me, of course. But then next time I'm in his presence, I said, Lord, why did I do that? Why did I act like that? Why? And he would help me understand me. He'll teach you personal things. You're going to learn a lot about yourself in his presence. Because God deals with the truth. He speaks the truth in love. He loves us, so he tells us the truth. In Job's day, Job and his friends argued back and forth till they had no strength. And then a man named Elihu came and spoke to Job and his friends and rebuked them and spoke God's word, and it builded them up. And after they were built up, they had strength again. Then the Lord spoke out of the whirlwind and corrected everything that they were saying. And they could see why they were wrong and why they were right. And Job's captivity was still intact after God spoke to him. And then Job, in his own words, said, "I've heard about you with the hearing of the ears, but now I see with the seeing of the eyes." Now, he didn't literally see God, but he came to a point of understanding. He saw what God was talking about. And he saw himself, and he understood what happened to him through the dialogue of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something about his presence, and I've said it many times before. The Lord can say a phrase and you understand volumes that could fill a book. And I'm not just saying that to brag on it, but that's how it is. He can say things in a phrase and you understand much from that one phrase. So when the Lord spoke to Job out of that whirlwind, he understood chapter 1 and chapter 2. When everything happened to him, he didn't know that Satan was behind his demise and the death of his children. He said, "God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But he didn't charge God.